As we bring Cheryl up, I invite you to find your heart. Place your hand over your own heart. And can you play that D major chord? Just play a D major chord and find a note in that. Just pick any note in there and hum, sing. This is her prayer. We're finding our hearts as she comes up. And then back to D, then back to D, D, then back to D, D. One more time, just give us a nice warm hum for Cheryl here, just. There it is. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. Say a prayer of gratitude with love for the fact that you have the strength at the end of a hot, long day to wave that fan in your hand, okay? And then say a prayer of gratitude with love that your choice is sending cool, fresh breezes to the people beside you, and you are transforming their experience. Glenn Clark, whatever his name was, who founded this camp, wrote toward the end of his life more frequently than earlier, but silence had become very, very important to him. And he wrote frequently about the power of silence. And I'm thinking, let's just start with 2 or 3 minutes of just fanning the Holy Spirit breathe in total silence. And if you have to have any thought at all, let it be one of gratitude that your body is cooperating and that you're in a community that is cooperating. Amen. I had the awareness that we were practicing being co-creators with God just then. And that's a different concept than we usually think of those words. We usually frequently pray to become a co-creator with God, and we think that means being busy. We think that means doing something profound. We think it means solving the pollution problem in Rio de Janeiro. No, what it means is just what you experienced. Taking the time, setting your intention, and just being. Just being. I think that was important for me to share because the thoughts that are in my heart to share tonight could be construed to mean go out and get busy doing, and that's not what I'm encouraging, okay? Even though the language might sound like that. I want to talk about another finding in the world of science, medical science, because understanding it or grappling to understand it means coming to grips with what you thought was true your whole life. And science is finding out that much of what we thought was true isn't true. And it's not that truth has changed, it's that our consciousness is evolving. We are under duress sometimes, evolving into a higher consciousness civilization, a higher consciousness world. A world that now has the opportunity to look at slavery and know it's wrong. And know that we can pray about that and be a factor in changing it. And knowing that from our experience, major changes like that are not always accepted with glee. Okay? But we're still being called to set our intention higher. We're being called tonight to set our intention higher than we set it a week ago when we came. We are called, I believe, to leave this place with the intention to be love, period. Science has discovered how to measure different emotions, different thoughts. And science is telling us, the same as Jesus told us, be careful what you think, because it is an active process and it creates. Your thoughts create your world. Your thoughts create the world you live in. Your thoughts create the condition of your body. Now, there's a biochemistry, I think it's biochemistry guide named Dr. Bruce Lipton, and he's was from the University of Stanford, and he's spent 25 or 30 years of his life exploring how cells work. The medical profession and the encyclopedia profession at the time he started the work promoted and believed to be true that we are who we are because of our DNA. Our DNA sets in motion every detail of our lives. Now, that was a standard in the medical community and still is. Some places. The DNA affects everything. And he was teaching at the time, and he was in his science lab discovering that at the cellular level, that is not true. It is not true. But he was forced to teach that same belief system. And couldn't teach his belief system based on his evidence, so he quit and continued his research. And this is what the process he used, and this is what he found. And it's important to you tonight. He took muscle myoplast tissue, which is the kind of cells that build muscle, okay? And he put these cells in three, divided them into three categories and put in Petri dishes and started his experiment. Now then, if it were true that cells recreate themselves and that you are determined by your DNA, the thinking would be conclusive that those three Petri dishes, no matter what they were fed or exposed to, would produce all the same thing. They did not. He exposed dish one to one kind of ingredient, environment, dish two to another environment, and dish three to another environment. And they each produced according to the environment. The muscle tissue cells that, if governed by DNA, would produce muscle cells, no matter what they were fed, no matter what they were watered, no matter what thoughts were said over them, no matter what prayers were issued, no matter whether the temperature was hot or cold, they would all replicate according to their DNA. They did not. They replicated according to their environment. And he is teaching now that we must make the transition in our thought environment, because our thought environment is impeding our progress in becoming a people who know how to love as Jesus on the cross and beyond taught. Our thought, which allows us, an example would be from my childhood, an example of my common thought process until about a year and a half or two ago. My common thought process was, I've got to be perfect or no one will like me. That was common. That ruled my life. I ruled my life trying to be perfect. And I succeeded, sort of, kind of. Although I was a mess, I sort of succeeded. Because I learned early. I remember in elementary school, I learned within the first week of school what would please that teacher. I knew what was kind of question was going to be asked on the test based on what the teacher taught. I knew where to sit to get the good attention. I knew what kind of papers to write extra credit about to get good grades. So I did well in school. Not because I was exceptionally brilliant, but I just paid attention to what the teacher liked and pleased him or her. Real easy. We still do the same. We still do the same. But these three Petri dishes are saying, what you must learn now is to be united with the vine, as Glenn Clark talked about. We have to believe what Jesus said, and we have to do what he said. Now, we have said we believed what he said, love your neighbor. We believe that, we teach that, we preach it, we talk about it. Yes, I believe in we should all love our neighbor. But do we? Sometimes I think critical thoughts about my neighbors. I've had critical thoughts about some of you this week. I've had critical thoughts about myself this week. I had a critical thought when I was sitting just right out there thinking, well, maybe he'll sing extra long because I don't really have anything planned to say, Lord. And it was a critical, demeaning thought. I have a bunch to share. I just don't have it very well organized. our thought leads to our belief and is and our action is determined by our perception. Okay, what does that mean? That means, let me find a willing, Jack, would you come up? Okay. Thank you, Jack. You look like you have enough energy to make that trip. That's good. Okay. Jack stands here, and he has a thought in his mind, and you have a thought in your mind. Okay? If Jack is thinking anything judgmental or fear-based or critical about anything, he can change his mind about that. And he looks like nothing's happening inside. Well, there's lots happening inside. Now then, Jack, would you give me one word to describe that piano, a negative word about the piano, anything? Sin? Okay, the word he comes up is sin. Now, changing perception means the process is, whoops, I just thought something judgmental about that piano, and I'm going to change my perception. So I want you to go over by that microphone and think of a positive, and look at the piano. Piano is not changed. Nothing has changed about it. Think about the piano and make a positive comment about it.
Powerful.
Powerful. He just changed his perception. Thank you. Thank you. And what that does internally, every time we do that, it increases the vibration at which we are living. The vibration you are can be measured now. And science is saying the same thing Jesus has said forever. You need to vibrate with the energy of love. That vibration is at 500 megahertz. Okay? So it's a fast vibration. The lowest vibration we sang in the song that Jack led, the lowest vibration is shame. Shame will create illness and disease and cancer, guaranteed, if you vibrate at the level of shame, because you see through a perception that is dull and slow and contrary to God's vibration. Now, God's energy has been measured at a personal level up to 1,000, from 0 to 1,000. Shame vibrates at 20. Just do your fan at a vibration of 20. It isn't real helpful. Okay, do it at a vibration of 1,000. Woo, you get cool real quick. Love is a vibration of 500, right in the middle of that. Joy is a little bit higher than love. Peace is higher than joy. And above that, we move to bliss. 750 was Mother Teresa, and several other people measured like that. The average vibration of people currently in our country is 207. So you live in a world that is vibrating at a level designed to take you down, to nullify your awareness, to decrease your spiritual life, to make you think you are a victim, to make you feel powerless. Not only am I a victim, but I can't do anything about it. And we grew up with that belief system, not really knowing what was happening. And I'm not saying it was intentional. I'm not blaming it. I'm not condemning it. I am saying we're called to something higher. Now, the interesting fact is that by setting your intention, my intention is to increase my vibration and not even know what that means. But God, who's out through that black hole way back there, he knows exactly what that means. And his desire is to fulfill your intention. His commitment to you is to fulfill your intention. I intend to increase my vibration to make a number. Doesn't matter. Just as long as it's higher than what you're creating now. If you are vibrating at 250, you are creating physical symptoms that are uncomfortable. You are creating chaos in some part of your relationship world. You are creating despair when you watch TV news. Agnes Sanford would not have created despair watching TV news. She would look at it and change her perception. I can pray about that and make a difference. And it would make a difference. So we're called to be co-creators in the world of our thoughts, our beliefs, and our perceptions. Is that clear? Yeah. And how you do it is you the same way you learn to walk. I'm going to learn to walk. I'm going to learn to brush my own teeth, Mom. Thank you very much. I'm going to learn to drive. And then we ask the Lord for help or the Holy Spirit for help, and you will be led to anything, any information that you need to know, receive to help you, or you will be led to just find yourself in 6 months. The things that bothered you 6 months ago don't bother you now. You aren't judging the person who takes your parking place. You aren't judging the airline that gives Alan the good seat, right? Okay, now was that statement at 500? No, you could tell from my voice. That statement was about 253, okay? Now I have experimented with this. And what I can tell you is that with maybe a month of practice at just reminding myself, I want to go to a higher level. We're climbing higher and higher. I want to do that, Lord. And I can tell you that I am at a higher level. The way I know that is, the things that would have bothered me a year ago don't even get my attention. It's just gone. The things that would have kept me awake don't keep me awake. One of my issues my whole life, and really low vibration, has involved finance. And because I'm a depression kind of baby, born in 1936, so my parents were just coming out of depression. And I learned a lot of false truths, quote unquote, from just having to survive in those days, okay? So I'm sorry, I don't remember the date. Somewhere in the 60s, let's say. To save money, I did our family income taxes. And Alan and I were working hard to get some side money, and so we had extra schedule A, B, blah, blah, whatever they are. So I took a class on income tax, and for a beginner person, I thought I did pretty well. So in the mail comes an envelope saying, we have selected you, wonderful thing, for, what's that called when they inspect, for an audit. Okay, please bring these materials and all that. So we went to the meeting, and I was terrified. I was terrified. Especially when the person researching or doing our work said, well, we're going to have to re-examine your whole paperwork and all that. And the picture that popped in my mind was that, oh my God, our family is lost, doomed, scattered, and I am leading a camel across the desert. And I was literally walking in that terror, okay? We had the audit, and they decided to send someone to our home to conduct a deeper audit, whatever that meant. So a woman came to our home and spent 3 days from 9 in the morning until 6 at night or 8 in the morning. It was early. It was all day. She sat at her dining room table and she went through every little receipt and every little thing. I had to feed her. I had to make her coffee. I had to pretend she was a gracious guest in my house. I didn't do very well. At the end of 3 days, she said, well, I think I have some good news for you. Okay? The errors that we were inspecting were our fault, and we owe you, I can't remember an amount of money. It was $550, or I don't remember the amount. And I thought, oh, great, we can go to the beach. No, she said, but since it's the amount we owe you is not over some other amount, we just erase it and we go on our way. And I was thinking, what's good about this? Nothing. What I know about that is that now, all these years later, after coming to camps, reading Glenn Clark saying, connect to the vine, but you can't appropriate the power of being connected to the vine until you are at the same vibratory level as the tree. If you just went out and pasted a branch on a tree at an open spot, unless those two are at a vibratory level that's similar or close, the limb's gonna die. Okay? I think that's accurate. And Glenn Clark talks in the book God's Reach about increasing our level of consciousness. And he talks about the scripture where Jesus promises, you will do greater things than I have done. And Glenn Clark says wisely, and we usually skip over it when we read it. He says what that means, you will do, the promise is true, you will do greater things. We're called to do greater things. But we can't do them until we're vibrating at a level high enough to establish that energy field to live in, if that makes any sense at all, okay? CFO is one of the ways that God has given the world to help us increase our vibratory field, to increase the freedom to accept the promises of Jesus, not only as very nice, oh, that's a nice one, yeah. No, it's not just a nice one. It's a call forward. It's a call up. It's a call to be more. It's a call to be like Him. In word, thought, and deed. And His power came from the thought process that never once in his life, I don't believe, never once in his life did he feel separate from God his Father. Never once. And yet I propose that I'm not the only one in the room that has a thought pattern, a style of belief that frequently feels separated. I feel separated from you sometimes. I feel separated from the love of Christ. I feel separated from people I read about in the news. I feel separated from truth. I feel separated. Right now I really feel separated from politicians. I have them all grouped in a group in my head, and they aren't to be trusted, and I feel very separated. That's a sin, according to Jesus. I'm going to be working on that one tonight. I'll probably have to sign up for every hour of your prayer vigil. Anytime we feel separated, that's a clue that our belief system is somehow contaminating, standing in the way of the oneness that God wants to create, has created, is creating, is establishing. And you can set your intention to change that. Whoops, there I go. Feeling separated again. Thank you, Lord, that's not of you. Amen. On with the next. Okay? Science says that most of the lies we believe that foul up our life, most of those lies happen before we're age 6. The reason is the way the brain is structured, and in a small child just takes in everything. They take in your thoughts, they take in your actions, they take in your promises. I remember Alan and I trying to do a good job with our kids, and we sat down for dinner one night without clearing up something we were arguing about. I don't even know what it was. But our 3 kids at the table, and one of them said, what's wrong here? And we were into denial. And we said, oh, nothing, everything's just fine. And our oldest son got up in anger from the table and clomped his silverware down, and he said, I'm not going to eat at this table with all the red energy coming from you. Okay? That was a call to look at something. We had something serious we had to look at. The children, the beautiful children in this camp, are picking up from us everything we think. Every thought we have, they pick it up and frequently make a decision about themselves. As on the basis of that thought, they personalize it. Now, some of us as adults still do that. We still pick up a thought. It might be Marty's thought, and it might not have anything to do with me, but Marty has a thought about, I really don't like those earrings. I'm making this up. No, you're having a thought about my earrings, okay? Now, if I'm not careful, I'll pick up that thought. I will pick it up. And I will decide that Marty doesn't like me. Or I will decide I have to throw the earrings away because they're crap. or I will decide, what will happen, and I watched this all week sometimes, you just turn and avoid. You go somewhere else. Go find a conversation somewhere else. So the point of all this is, I have about three. The point is that the love you've felt here, it is a must to continue to work on experiencing that and creating that everywhere you go. Glenn Clark talked about camp is not the event. We think of camp as the event. I'm going to go to Winnie this year. I'm going to do da-da-da. Oh, I can hardly wait to get swimming at Winnie. I can hardly wait to have dinner at Winnie with my friends. And Glenn Clark said, no, 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 no. Winnie is the practice field for when you go home. And how about if you change your perception before next year? I'm going to go back to Winnie, and I'm going to learn more about being love to my children, or I'm going to learn more about praying with a group, or I'm going to go more about singing a different style of song. How about if something like that became your focus? Can you feel that that's a higher focus? Yes, no? A little bit. Okay. That's safe. The gift of a week together is that it gives us a chance to learn about community. The other thing scientists are saying about your body is that every cell in your body contains everything in the body. As like a brain cell could create an ankle bone, and an ankle bone cell could create a knee bone. Every cell has within it the genetic material, whatever that is, to reproduce your entire body. And then Lipton talks about, in his 25 years of work and research, watching the cells build community with each other. They built police departments. They built shopping departments, childcare departments. They built everything that's in your life. The cells in your body are building with each other. And they take care of each other, just like we need to. And they inspire each other, just like we need to. And they call each other to these, he didn't use these words, my words. They call each other to repentance and forgiveness. Hey, buddy, you aren't doing right in that cell, and you're causing a liver problem. Get with it. That's not their language. But the principle is you have within you the community at a cellular level, 52 trillion cells, learning to live in community in a way we have not learned to put forth into our world. What would happen if we studied that for a year and learned, practiced how to build community? I think we'd see miracles. I think we'd have lots of perceptions we had to change. Lots of perceptions about what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's life-giving, what is not. And I think we'd come closer. to being able to think when we sing the song, Walking with Jesus, we'd come closer to knowing we really are. We really are walking with Jesus. We really are learning to love the way Jesus tells us to love. We really are closer and closer to being the wholeness that we are created to be. Wholeness. We really are closer to being like Paul in that beautiful story where he's walking down the street and people are healed from the energy of love in his shadow. What a beautiful dream if we all dreamed that dream and worked on making our shadow a healing presence. Want to find one thing just a minute? This is a page from Glenn Clark's book of called God's Reach, page 43. Jesus' teaching, when properly understood, constitute the only authentic roadmap for reaching the sixth and seventh dimensions. He described in detail the seven dimensions. That's the same thing those scientists are describing now. The same dimensions, the same qualities, the same energies, the same vibrations. Thank you, Alan. Nevertheless, he himself, being the perfect union of humanity and divinity, had dominion over all the dimensions. From the other side of that black hole cross, after the resurrection, sitting at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ has dominion over every dimension of consciousness you could attempt to reach for. He said, I have many things I cannot tell you now. Because at the level we are currently at, 207, as a culture, we can't understand 700. It doesn't mean anything because we can't conceptualize it. We can feel it when someone with a vibration of 500 hugs us and we're at 200, you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference if you're at 600 and you hug somebody at 100, you can tell the difference. Okay? Someday, he prophesied, there will be enough of you living, moving, and having your being in the fifth, sixth, and seventh generations. And when that time comes, greater things than I have done, ye shall then be able to do. And I propose for us to ponder and pray about and consider that we spend the next year allowing God of the universe to raise our vibration so that it's healing. That involves getting rid of the sick thinking we have. That involves getting rid of judgment, getting rid of being critical. It involves getting rid of feeling helpless. It involves getting rid of thinking, I'm not worthy. What a lie of the enemy. I'm not worthy. But it's down there in the same 20 megahertz vibration. I'm not worthy. I can't try that. You are worthy. You just don't know it yet. But if you remembered and changed your perspective of that statement, I'm not worthy, oh no. I don't believe Cheryl really knows what she's talking about, but I'm going to practice being worthy. I'm going to practice defining myself as Jesus defines me and see, I'll show her it doesn't work. Well, I welcome you to try that because it will work. God will honor your intention. He will pass away the old pain and set you on a new path. And the new path will be the path of embodiment of all the beautiful things we've sung about this whole week. Amen.